There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. But that's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
All to Jesus I will bring. I surrender everything. Not my will, but Christ in me. I'm yours. Come, Jesus. I receive everlasting love for me. All I ever want to be is yours. And oh, it's amazing how you love me. My life is alive.
Show where you get your praise on without leaving the house. Sit back and enjoy the wonderful music. There's a word from the Lord coming today to bless your soul. Enjoy the rest of this program. We'll be back in just a moment.
And I'm worth fighting for, so happy. With the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink. Under the pressure you meant for me to soar, I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. We've meant so much more, still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path. Don't think every door, I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for.
Nothing can separate me from your love.
When there's so much more, yeah. It brings is worth fighting for, and I'll be faithful for my wife and children, because my family is worth fighting for. No, this world is not my home, but your kingdom here is worth fighting for. I got a mansion over in glory,
prepared for you. Come on, somebody, to let it go right now in your mind.
Forgetting those things which are behind.
What you did, what you what you didn't do, what you allowed other people to do to you. You can't erase it, but you can press with the mark, which I'm not sick to. I'm letting go.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we
support
this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Amen. Here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen. God bless you on this day. We're truly glad to be in your presence one more time. Our lines are open. We want to say God bless you to area codes 440-901 and 216. God bless you on this early afternoon. Amen. Brother Charles, are you there? How are you doing this afternoon? God bless you.
Good morning, Pastor. Afternoon. I am blessed. I am great. I'm here. I made the woke list. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm enjoying my coffee. Just had two Pop-Tarts, and everything is good.
Amen, amen. That is good. That is super good. So you enjoying your coffee. Yeah, I done had my share of coffee this morning. As you know, my morning start very early, so I definitely have had my share of coffee this morning. Amen. Now all of a sudden the sound want to act up, but that's all right. We're going to get the victory over the end. Amen. Brother Missionary Ken, how you doing?
Doing awesome. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing wonderful and fantastic. We're telling God thank you all the way. Well, how are you and your lovely wife is doing on this great day?
Well, I'm doing fine, but the missus says she's a little under the weather.
Okay. Well, our prayers definitely go to her, that God will touch her body, give her strength. In the name of Jesus, amen. We decree it to be so. We stand in agreement that she will be healed, that she will be delivered, that she will be set free. Amen, and she will bounce back,
with more energy than she had before. If you can go ahead and bless us with a word of prayer, we'll greatly appreciate that. Go ahead and bless us in a word of prayer. We're not going to trouble
and
her
yet
for the
scripture. She's still standing by with a word for us today. So,
done
with the prayer, she can give us the word.
Okay. All right. And following your prayer, we'll be receiving the scripture reading from her on today. In that order. Come on, let's go.
All right. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day. In you, we have another way. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you right now for a great program, because we know that you're going to make it great today, and we're going to give it to you. All its honor and all its glory, Lord Jesus. We ask you right now, Lord Jesus, as we go into this broadcast, allow something that we say or do to be honored, glorified in your name, so that that soul nearest hell would be able to reel up the white flag saying, I yelled, Lord, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day, Lord Jesus. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, Lord Jesus, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessing, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, for those that have lost someone due to COVID-19, family and friends, Lord Jesus. We ask you to comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19 as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, for each and every one of us, with situations like George Floyd and all these other wicked situations that we read about in the newspapers, here in the news, on the radio, or on the television, Lord Jesus. You got mail, Lord Jesus, because we need to learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen.
Okay. We got Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 7. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "'Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye say sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me thither." Okay. "For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Yeah, I just got a sore throat, and I got some muscle problems. But the Lord's going to be with me. He's on the throne.
All right, what's going on?
And it was at this time. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Six, for speaking up. Didn't realize I'm still on mute. Amen. And so we want to thank you for that reading from Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 7. Joseph here reintroduced himself to his brethren. And sometimes when we reintroduce ourselves to what people have done, We realize that what they meant for bad, God used that circumstance, that situation, and he turned it around for our good. How did he do it? He did it because we remained steadfast in his word. We did not compromise our faith. We did not lose hope, but we maintained hope in him, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even think. Amen. Sometimes things break us, but in the brokenness, God can still heal us. Amen. Brian Cage has a song that regards that. Let's listen to him at this time.
Into this building, you brought your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, won't be the same. So you tell me you've been to your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind, oh, your body and all your soul. Yes, there is. Hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yeah. And he can mend a broken
heart. He can mend your broken
heart.
He has the miracle to fix your need.
Won't you trust?
Won't you trust him?
Oh,
you will
receive. About the situation, but with every test, it's every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He's here to touch and heal you. That you'll have.
Stand still and see the amazing sight. salvation of the Lord. Stand still. Stand still empty. We have the victory. Stand still. Stand still. He's living salvation. Salvation of the Lord. Stand still. We have the victory. We have the victory. Stand still. Amazing salvation. Let's still care. We are saved. You don't have to fight no more. You don't have to fight no more. Fight no more. Say that more. You don't have to fight no more. The devil belongs to Jesus.
Favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so and so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
Amen and amen and amen. You are favored of God. Our songs today dealt with trusting God, believing in God, even in difficult times and hard times and going through. We have the victory because of what He, Christ alone, has done. So many times we are faced with challenges, and it can become discouraging when we focus on the problem. But I want to challenge you today and for the rest of the week. I want you to not allow yourself to focus merely on your problem, the bad thing that may be happening in your life. the bad things that may be happening around your life. I'm not telling you to ignore them. I'm not telling you that they have no value or no worth. What I am saying, though, is don't give it your undivided attention. Don't allow it to be your center of focus. Don't allow it to replace where your faith truly needs to be in. Our faith as believers, as born-again believers, I'm talking to those that have named the name of Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I know oftentimes you hear me say that, and you may say to yourself, Pastor Bonnet, why are you saying to us Lord and Savior? Realize that in this life, I may be somebody's pastor, but to so many other people, I'm only a preacher. In other words, they would recognize that I have the ability to speak and to speak in the things concerning God, but they won't allow what I'm speaking to actually penetrate their heart. The purpose of a pastor is to lead you and to guide you as an under-shepherd to the great shepherd. And that means you are to pay attention to the things that are coming out of that pastor's mouth because they are the direction of God concerning the flock that God has given that individual. And so many times we ignore leadership, thinking that, well, I can pray for myself, I can do this for myself, I can do that. And that's fine and dandy. You can pray for yourself. You can lay hands on yourself. And so many things that you can do for yourself. But I understand this clearly. And as I live and study the Word of God, I understand the greatest power of being a person of authority under authority. In other words, I may have physical strength to do this or to do that, but it is what gives me the authority to exercise that strength that has true power in the direction of the things that I must do. Case in point. A police officer, whether they're muscular built or overweight, when that police officer detains you for whatever reason you're being detained, he's not detaining you based on his physical strength. They're not detaining you based on their own personal opinion. I'm talking about the good officers, those that upholding the law. But when they detain you or stop you, it is to perform their duty. And what gives them that right is the Constitution that have ordained them to do just that. Something we as individuals have lost. And many of us have never regained it, even though Christ gave it back to us. Uh-oh. What you talking about, preacher? Well, this is what I'm talking about. Many, when we start talking about the work of Jesus Christ, we simply focus on him giving us the ability to go to heaven. Many of us focus on that. But I want to challenge you today to go back and read the stories, the lessons concerning Christ. And Christ's mission was never talking about the future heaven to come. Yes, he discussed it, but that wasn't his message. In fact, his first message was one of repentance. Because The word repentance do not mean to say I'm sorry. It is not an apology. And so many times we think that telling God we're sorry is actually repentance. And that's not what repentance is. Most of us that have gone to school in the English language, we know when we see the word R-E before a word, it simply means to redo something, to reapply something, to do it again. It is a second effort or a third effort or once again. And so when we see the word repentant, we must focus on that word pent or penitent. What does it fully mean? What does it really? To give you a small segment of it, it simply means your innermost thoughts, how you process something through your mindset. It is the subconscious that gives you to know right from wrong. In other words, whatever lifestyle you were living prior to receiving the gospel, God is saying for you and me, for us to rethink how we are to think. Why? Because it is my thinking that allowed me to dwell in sin. It was my thinking that allowed me to think so long as I wasn't hurting nobody, it was okay. When not to understand that true kingdom living, if I'm not helping nobody else, then I'm still not fulfilling the purpose in why God have me here. Our purpose as believers is to be helpers one to another. Our purpose is to express the will of God and to demonstrate it by lifestyle wherever it is we are dwelling, wherever I'm living, wherever I'm working. Whatever avenues I must travel in life, it is my job as a believer to demonstrate to others the plan of God, the will of God, the culture of God. Why is that so important? Well, once again, Christ's message is repent. For the kingdom, kingdom. What is kingdom? It is a king's domain. And what is his domain? What's the purpose of his domain? The purpose of his domain is for those that's living in that domain to demonstrate his culture and his ideal. I know that's hard for anyone that's living under a democracy where you feel like your opinion matters, where the collective voices of one can change the decision that was made before time at this time. It was once upon a time where here in America it was wrong for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman. But because of the collective voices of many, now in different states throughout America, that has been allowed now because the statement is you love who you love. But it is not the will of our king. In the kingdom, when you go against the principle teaching and culture of the king, it is treason. I'm going to say it again. In a kingdom, when you go against the will of a king and you begin to do your own thing and you desire separation because of your opinion or your persuasion for any reason, it is treason. You may call it a revolution, an uprising, or many other things. But God, in his word, teaches that in itself is sin. When we rise up and make a decision to go against what God has said for us as believers, for us that have heard and known the word of God, that in itself is sin. Period. Plain and simple. Now, I wasn't intended to go far this direction this afternoon, but I must take the moment and share with you that if you have truly surrendered to God, then Christ has become your Lord and Savior. Lord is to have rulership. Savior is the redemption work that he's done on our behalf. Christ had already done the redemption work long before any of us was born. It was done some 2,000 years ago. So that work is a finished work that's already done. But everyone is not saved, even though the work is done. It is by faith do we activate what he done for us by joining ourselves to his kingdom. When I add myself to the kingdom of heaven, then it's no longer my culture that I'm trying to demonstrate in the world. It now becomes the culture of a king. I want you to think about any kingdom that have ruled or reigned at any given time in history. And every king that had reigned, his reign was first one of sovereignty. That means his words was absolute. So if he decreed something, he didn't go to a parliament. He didn't go to a group of this, a group of that to get permission. He simply applied his, what we say, God-given authority. He applied his sovereignty, his God-given authority, and he made whatever decree based on the culture he wanted to build. When we trust God, the Creator, and I know God is a generic term. I can sit here and name the names of God that may not benefit you standing and going through the experience of each of those names. But Genesis starts off introducing to us who we call God, Elohim. And Elohim said, let there be. And the word was let, L-E-T, a words of creation. And those words created the very things that we see today They created the very things that we are going after today. And so what we have by substance, God put a plan in motion, and he planned for us as mankind to have dominion. Well, why would God give us dominion if he didn't plan for us to dominate? Notice in the scripture, it's not against one another, but it was against all that preceded us. The birds, the fishes, the beasts, the animals, even the very insects of nature today. We have control over the atmosphere. It's amazing in the New Testament, Christ teaches, whatsoever you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loose. What he was saying to you and I, he's saying to us that we have power to command something to be. We have the authority to make peace or destruction. Now, let me make this more personal. The Bible says that the power of life and death resides or lies within the tongue. Now, it teaches us in the Old Testament that the tongue is an unruly evil. We got to be careful what we say out of our mouth, because our mouth becomes an unnatural resource unnatural resource, because God is our source. And so when I begin to declare out of my mouth, I can't, then God don't. But when I begin to declare I can in Jesus Christ's name, then God do. When I declare that I have a sickness, then the sickness has strength. Why? Because I claimed it. Well, brother, pastor, what about when you do get a natural cold? He said, let the weak say I am strong. But is that like telling a lie? No, that is confessing your change. When you're driving your car and it's hot in there, it's hot, so what you do is turn the AC unit on. And you set it, if you have a digital one or one that just turns the dial, you turn it to the setting that is comfortable. Why? Because you don't want to be hot. Unless it's cold out and you want to be warm. You control the dial. That dial is in your hand. You cannot get mad at the car and say, car, I'm so sick of you always being hot. And the car says, there's a working, capable AC unit. It's not broken. The blower works, but you're not working the system. And so oftentimes we are blaming God, and he has given us the system to work. Well, don't you supposed to take all your cares to God? Yes, you do. You take all your cares to God because he does care for us. But once you take those burdens to him and give those burdens over to him, what he gives you in return is the strength to overcome. Why? Scripture says we are more than conquerors in his name. So how am I more than a conqueror if I don't conquer nothing, if I don't overcome nothing? So challenges must be in our lives so we can operate in being more than a conqueror. How do I become more than a conqueror? Every time it comes, I get the victory. Every time the challenges rises up, I don't run and cower in defeat. But what about terminal illness? What about it? There are people that have terminal illness in them, and if they did not tell you, you would not truly know. It is when they tell you, then you know, when the ailment is not something physical that you can see. Because they have made it up in their mind that the disease is not who they are. But who they are the unique creature that God created to have dominion in this world. Now, taking one step back, mankind was born or created, excuse me, he was created to have dominion in this earth. Our first father, Adam, surrendered the God-given authority over to Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Regardless to how he was tricked, how it came about, he surrendered the authority. That means he gave over whatever strength he had, whatever power he had, whatever authority he had, he gave it over to someone else. You know, when you're locked up in a house and you're holding others hostage and the police surrounds your house and the SWAT surrounds your house and they tell you to surrender. In other words, they're not trying to come in and take it by force so that they don't end up hurting the innocent. They ask you to surrender it. Well, if you are dogmatic, you're not going to surrender it because some decided to die rather than to surrender. And since spirits are eternal, once again, spirits are eternal. Spirit that Adam gave dominion to, he knew that he couldn't die, that he had to be overtaken. So he didn't surrender his authority. So when Christ was led into the wilderness after 40 days being tempted of the enemy, being tempted of the devil, one of the things that the devil showed him in a moment of time, kingdoms of the world, all those that had dominion, all those that was in operation, all those government that were functioning under his will. He said, I will give this to you if you will bow down and worship me. Isn't that presumptuous, bold, crazy for a thing that was made, say, to the thing that made it? You have no, I have the power, you don't. That's crazy. But yet that's what Satan did. He claimed the authority over the whole earth because Adam wasn't able to fulfill the authority that was given to him. But Christ, coming in a body of flesh and blood, He says, well, since he could not fulfill God's law, I'm going to fulfill it. Now, the Bible said the soul that sinneth. That's a different thing from the spirit. It shall die. The soul that sinneth. It shall die. So God formed man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. So although we are spirit being in a flesh suit, we have a immortal soul. And he says, that soul shall die. Here, death is not an end of sin. Death is a separation from the Creator. So that soul shall be eternal separated. And so in this separation that was spoken of, Christ said, I must redeem them by fulfilling that rule. So being tempted in all things. I showed y'all probably a week or two ago that there was multiple things that Christ was tempted. But the things concerning the flesh or the body, they were the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He did that part. It was mentioned so that we would know how to overcome ourselves. But there were some other things that was spiritual that it does not even tell us what they were, because the Bible says no temptation have taken you that is not common to man. So when you begin to look at your trial and think, don't nobody understand, don't nobody feel like you feel, ain't nobody gone for this like this, that's when you have made the grave error of thinking something new is just now happening. It may be new, but it's only new to you. It is the recycled thing that has been going on the beginning of time. And that is to deceive you and I from the inheritance, not the gift. The inheritance, that means something that is your birthright. The inheritance that God gave man. What did God give man that he lost? God gave man dominion. What kind of dominion did he give him? A heavenly divine one. So what did man lose? Mankind lost his original connection to the king. Christ says, I'm going to reconnect the severed, the broken connection. I'm going to do that which was needful. Anyone that believe on me, who the Father set to make this connection, they will be given this by their faith. I know oftentimes as ministers of the gospel, male, female, whatever the affirmation may be, we have said to you, salvation is free. I want to clear the air today. Salvation is not free. I know it goes against your theology. I know it goes against your theology. If salvation was free, Christ did not have to die. The wages of sin is death. In other words, in order for salvation to come, somebody had to pay a price. You and I could not pay the price because whatever state that we die in, that's the state we wake up into eternity in. So if we died in sin, we wake up in eternity in sin. So that we didn't have to die in sin, Christ died for us by fulfilling the law of sin, and that is obedience to the Father completely. Obedience to the Father completely. He that knew no sin became sin. Not sin. He didn't do sin. He took on our sin and took all of our sins and bared them on the cross, period. So the thing that we were struggling with, and I say were, because once you truly surrender to God, once we truly surrender to God, our struggles become easier as we mature in Him. It's amazing. One of the things that I like about Sister Ruth, and if I can just point her out, is sometimes when she's talking about her salvation, she actually goes back to the day she received that salvation. And she recalls that date, and she holds that date like many of us hold the date that we were born. You know, I was born in September 26th. So that date is good to me or rememberable to me because it is the day that life begins for me in this earth realm. And so I hold on to that date, and each year I celebrate that date. And so over the years, life had allowed me to grow. And based on how I grew, it determines my level of maturity now. But there was a time when I was going through adolescent stages, preteen stages, puberty stages, young adult stages. There was time where I made decisions based on my youthfulness and not based on God's word, not based on what God has said, but I based it on my emotion or my feeling. And it's amazing how over the time, as time went on, as I had kids, I realized I can't spend this money on me because my children need to eat. I can't spend this money to go and buy me these type of big rims because they are nice, because my children need school clothing. I can't just spend this money any kind of way because I'm not living under Section 8. No, nothing wrong with having assistance. But I have to pay my full bill myself. So therefore, I don't have assistance. So therefore, I have to utilize what He has given me, that strength, that health, that's a good job. And I have to utilize that so that I can pay the responsible bills that I have normally. It wasn't for me to go out and buy my children top name brand of everything, teaching them the false sense or false values of life, but to share with them my struggle, to share with them my ups and my downs, to allow them to have a relationship with God so they are put stock in Him versus putting stock in themselves. And I had to let them see that by my deeds, my actions, because they are to carry on to the next generation and the next generation. So I had to make sound decisions. Many people today are still making foolish decisions. What is a foolish decision? Well, I'm glad you asked. A foolish decision is a decision where you have proper information, but you ignore the valuable information for selfish reasons. So whenever you disavow or ignore valuable information that is made available to you, those are the actions of a fool. Now, I'm not calling you a fool, but the Bible does when you behave that way. So your behavior dictates who you are. If I was a doctor and didn't see nobody for health or medical reason, then what kind of doctor am I? We're talking about medical doctor now, because we know you have other doctorate degrees in this or that, philosophy and so on. But if I study something, if I go to school to be a mechanic, and then all of a sudden I want to be a deep diver or a surfer and hang up my tools and go buy me a surfboard, the skills that I learned, they're there, but they profit me nothing because now I have abandoned them for something else. Many times that's what we do as born-again believers. We found out what it was to be saved, what salvation is, and what does it mean. But then we decided, well, okay, that's what it is. I'm going to go and do something else. And that term is called apostate, when you have abandoned the truth that you know. You have abandoned it. I'm a born-again believer. I'm also an American citizen. If I had a visa, and I'm talking about my visa card, I'm talking about a visa to allow me to go into other countries, passport. If I had a passport that allowed me to travel to other countries, well, those countries will allow me to go in. But on my passport, it will say to that country that I am the property of the United States. And so if I got kidnapped, that means they robbed the United States. And because I was a citizen, or I am a citizen of the United States, that government has the obligation and responsibility to utilize its power and resources to come get me, to retrieve me. But what if I defected? What if I say I don't want to no longer be an American citizen? I want to be a citizen of France. And I applaud that government to take me in. That is a decision I made. They didn't kidnap me. So now the U.S. government don't have a valid reason to come and retrieve me, because I made a conscious decision to change. Now, we're not getting into all this trade secret. If I was an employee of the government and I had the secrets of the government and I decided to defect, and the government had a right to hold me so that I don't share my secrets or their secrets with the enemy. But that's the world that we live in. Now, I want you to think about the kingdom of heaven. Now, if the world can behave in its strength like that, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. So we belong to God. But even while we're belonging to God, God allowed us to choose to make him Lord or not. The choice to be saved, to be redeemed, is 100% yours and mine to make. 100%. The Bible said God desires all should come into the knowledge of repentance. It does not say that all will come into the knowledge of repentance. The knowledge of repentance is the understanding, knowledge, information of changing the way they think or process thought. So there are some people who would never accept God. And they've been given the whole truth. But they have decided to remain in their own false illusion. I call it false because on the biblical teaching of who God is. Now, that's my faith. You got some people that believe in evolution, the way it was originally taught, that we evolved from this and that. You got some people that stick to that, even though there's no proof. And we can go into that teaching. That will be a 2-hour sermon by itself, so we won't do it. But even those who refuse to accept God as God, the genuine God, not a God, but the God, the creator, the all-sufficient one, the creator of the heavens and the earth. What he gave us is a gift of free will. He gave us the right to say yes and no. And he allowed us to choose. I know sometimes we ask the question, I wish God, or make the statement, I wish God would have stopped Eve, I know the sisters do, from eating that fruit because they don't like having children in pain. They don't like having monthly menstruals in pain, going through PMS and everything else that comes along with it. And even after that, going through these hot flashes and all these different things that they go through in their season. But just like she had the right to choose, so do we today. Just like Adam had the right to choose, so do all of us today. But what's beautiful about it is the true desire is what we saw from the beginning. God desiring relationship with his creation. Why is that so important? Do you know of a decent and good parent, mother or father, that genuinely do not want to spend time with their children? Not so. But a good father and a good mother, it is their desire to deposit their knowledge on their children, for their children to grow and to be able to manage what they pass on to them. It is their desire for their children even to surpass them. Now, we can't surpass God, But God certainly wants us to come up in our thinking. He certainly wants us to rise up to what true dominion is, so that we can display his culture and his will in the world where we are. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be famous. But you should be consistent. You should be purposeful. You should understand that there's a purpose that God has for you. As a child of God, God hold us to be, number one, accountable. If we're to be the leaders that God has created us to be, we first must be accountable. If you are not accountable to anything, anyone, at any time, how can you truly say that you are representing God? Accountability is number one. As a servant of God, as a child of God, we must have accountability. Number two, and here's probably one that we don't really want to talk about, but it's needful, and that is we must be disciplined. If I'm going to be a Christian, that means to be Christ-like, then I must be a disciple of Christ, one that has disciplined myself to the teaching and lifestyle of Christ. It's not a religious thing. It's a thing of faith. It is a thing that is culturally grown in us through his word. Religion, that word has hindered the true growth of Christianity, the true growth of the body of Christ, because we hinge on a word called religion, and we forget that God desired relationship from the beginning. God wants not just to know you, but you to truly know him. That's how we get all those names of God in the Bible. Because they learned that God was my banner, God was my healer, God was my deliverer, God was my way maker, God was my peace, God was my rescue. And they learned through experience these things concerning who God is. So he told Moses, I am that I am, which simply means to you and I, if what's needed, that's who he is. What you need in your life, that's who God is. God would be a mother to the motherless, a father to the fatherless, a brother to the brotherless, a sister to the sisterless, a friend to the ones that's liking friends. God will be your healer, your peacemaker, your joy, your strength, your substance, your food. God is so much more than G-O-D. But I must show myself accountable. I must apply discipline in this salvation. I need to be honest. Number three, if I'm to be what God needs me to be in these last and evil days, I need to be honest. I need to be diligent. I need to be diligent day to day. In other words, Christ said, I must do the work of him that sent me. I must do. That's diligent. I must do. That means he made himself do what was required. And ultimately, that produces faithfulness in us. If every time somebody talking to you and they discover within the conversation you tell what we call it, or what it's called, commonly called, a few light white lies. I don't know why we want to give lies color, but a few white lies. You tell these what we call small lies because you don't want them to know the truth. What was so hard to say, I don't want to disclose that information? What was so hard to say, I don't want to talk about that right now? What was so hard to just to change the subject? Instead, you just added a lie, not realizing that it's deceit. And the third step was honesty. How can you represent him if you're not honest? So faithfulness is your commitment day in and day out. Can you be trustworthy? That trustworthy goes to places when no one else knows what's going on but you. Are you faithful enough to discern? I mean, are you faithful enough to trustworthy enough to give that 10%? Oh, yeah. A lot of times when we start talking about offering, people totally get it wrong. You heard me state earlier that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. So if God owns everything, the strength that I have to go out and to get anything, he gave me the strength. So when I go out and I require and I inquire, or I earn, or I produce, however you want to look at it, $100. All $100. Why? Because I belong to God. But in my accountability, he's teaching me, set aside 10% for the work of my kingdom. That shows that I trust him and I'm disciplined enough to set it aside. Whether I pay it this week or next month, I'm disciplined enough not to touch it again. I'm honest enough with those that's receiving that what I say it is, that's what it is. Diligent enough to ensure that they get what it is that I'm releasing. I'm faithful enough to do it even when it's not requested. I'm trustworthy because I do it again, again, and again. So even when I give my offering, it is my love relationship that says we can add to this agenda because it's needful. I govern my life not to spend every dime that comes in. That's discipline. So that I can be helpful to the kingdom. So I can work in the kingdom, be beneficial in the kingdom. But what happens is, because the greed of others, that's what's taught through religion. But it's never taught through relationship. I don't buy my kids clothes because they're greed. I don't feed my children because of greed. But my love for them and my obligation towards them. I do those very basic needs for them because it is my obligation. There's some things that God does for us out of obligation because he's our father. The word father in scripture is the word source. God is our source. And that's why we are taught in the Lord's Prayer to address him, Abba, Daddy, our Daddy, our provider, our covering, because he is that and even more. So what are you doing today? How old are you in your faith? Is your faith today in God 2 years old? You know what they say about those twos, they're terrible twos. They have tantrums. They want it their way, and they get mad when they can't have it their way. Well, have you grown past that and start getting to the no phases, 4 and 5 and 6, where you don't learn how to say no, 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 no. God said, go do this. And you, no, Lord. Let somebody else do it. Or are we in the phases where we start feeling ourselves, you know, that adolescent, we start feeling those testosterone, those chemicals and imbalances that operate within our bodies that trigger certain things that we don't even understand ourselves. But we act like we do. And we tell everybody, you just don't understand me. Is that the level of our faith in God? Is that what age we are? Or are we to an age where we see a need? We ask God, Lord, how can I help this need? I have this resource. Is it suitable for this one? Can they benefit from it? What are we doing with the authority that Christ has given back to us? If the authority is like the unmarked or the marked police car that's left in some areas as a reminder to slow down, but there's really nobody inside the car to actually go pull you over, are we just in places as a reminder? Or are we that officer that's on duty that's watching and making sure, and we see somebody driving reckless or far too much above the speed limit, and we go and tell them, hey, I need you to slow it down. And we go and we uphold the law. What are we doing with this salvation? I know you said salvation is free, but it is not. It cost Christ everything. It cost him his life. And see, because you thought it was free, you put no value on it. You know, like when you're traveling and they got tons of pamphlets in the center, on the main roads, on the expressways, where you're going from one state to the next state, and you go and get some of those pamphlets, and whether you read them or not, you just get them because you think they're free. Somebody had to print it, so you don't put no real value on those. And that's what happened when we look at salvation as being free. Many times we just don't put value on what wonderful thing God has done on our behalf. And that's why we need tutors. Because we are children who has authority. But we don't know how to operate in the authority. So without our tutors, we don't know how to behave. Because we're children. But when we become full grown, when we mature and develop, then we don't take salvation for granted. We don't abuse salvation. Grace is the gift. Question is, what are you saved from? Or what are you saved for? I'm going to let you think on that. I'm not going to answer it. Many are thinking that they are saved simply to go to heaven. If that was the case, Lord, why haven't you took me now? Why haven't you taken me yet? If salvation was only to get me to heaven, why I'm not there? Because that's not the reason for salvation. That's not the primary reason of salvation. We didn't lose that it was given away. It was our inheritance. Our inheritance was, and let us man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish in the sea, the beast in the field, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the land. That's what was taken. We live in the earth. Christ said, I come that you may have life and it more abundantly. He never said, I came just so you can get to heaven. But he came that we can have power back in our lives. Power of God that allowed me to speak to sickness and to tell it to go. To illnesses and to tell it to go. To sadness and to depression. And all of these demonic things that attack the mind and command it to loose its hold and to go from here to another place. Last, and I'm done, for all of those that love to pray and cast the devil and out of people and say, I command you, Satan, to go back to the pits of hell. I'm asking this one thing and this one thing only. Please stop saying that. When you tell the devil, go back to the pit of hell from which he came, you are implying that he has the power to escape hell. That means if he can escape, everything else that's there can escape too. So please, let's not say that. Send him to dry places. Send him to wander. Because that's what the scripture says. Let's keep it in context. Our Father is a king. Elohim is our Father and King. And his desire for us is to line up with his will so that we may demonstrate his will, his culture, his idea to all humanity. And have dominion everywhere we go. Hey, I love you with the love of Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as the pardon of your sin, you can do it today. You can make him your Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you will confess with your mouth and believe with your heart the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, you should be saved. And so if you take that scripture just for what it says, all you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, here am I, a sinner, and I am in need of a Savior. I'm asking you to forgive me for all of my sins, knowing and unknowing, and to clean me from all unrighteousness. I want to accept your gift of grace that allowed me to receive salvation. I accept Christ's death, his burial, and resurrection for the pardon of my sin and the saving of my soul. Thank you for a finished work. Be my guide so that I will walk upright and do what's right in the sight of the Father and others that are looking upon me. Help me to be who you called me to be. I receive these things now in Christ's name. Amen and amen. If you mean it, dig into the Word of God. I will not tell you not to read the Bible by yourself. Read it by yourself. Read it daily. And when you have questions, call on somebody that knows it. That's why you attach yourself to a ministry, so that you will have help with proper understanding. I read this to you. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh upright. Without counsel, purpose are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors there are established. They are established. You want to become established in God, then that's where the church, the body of Christ, comes into place, because that counsel will help us from being wayward, misled, so that we don't mislead others, but we all walk together in strength and in power to Almighty God. I love you with the love of Christ. God bless you and God keep you. Amen and amen. I'm going to open up the lines for comments, questions, fellowship. God bless you, and once again, thank you.
Amen. Pastor Bonnet, that was a good message. And the two comments I got, first of all, you were talking about the little white lie that everybody likes to say. Well, it was only a little white lie. Well, what I like to tell them is, first off, no matter how big a house that you get, whether it's got one bedroom or eight, if it's got one address, whether it's got one address and one mailbox on the front, it's still a house. And no matter whether you paint it blue, black, pink, purple, whatever, it's still a house. So you could call it white if you want. You could call it black if you want. You could call it big or little if you want. It's still called what you called it at the end, a lie.
I fully like that. I truly like that analogy. That is a perfect example. Amen. What's the second one?
And the second thing, you were talking about, you know, how they have those roadside pamphlets like at your little rest stop or whatever along the highway of light, on the highways. Well, it kind of reminds us of our blind ministry and how our website is kind of like a road stop on the highway of life for some folks, and where they could stop to get Braille Bibles, whatever, and audio tracks, Braille tracks, that kind of thing. And like you were talking about, those pamphlets, they're not free. They still cost something. And we're still trying to, and even our website itself, it costs money to keep up there for people to go to. So we're still raising money to try to keep the website going. And anyone wanting to donate, I'd like to give the information on that. You could either go to PayPal. And Brother Six did his part. But any of those wishing to, they could, if they wish to go through PayPal, the email address is 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's the digit 2, the word 4, F-O-R, digit 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. Or if they don't have a PayPal account, they could go directly to the website, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, B-I-B-L-E-S, 4, F-O-R, the, T-H-E, blind, B-L-I-N-D, .org, and go right down at the bottom of the homepage there, and there's a love offerings link that you could go directly to if you don't have PayPal.
Amen. Amen. And they can also do that for the radio station too. Would you be kind enough to give that information since you're on the giving portion? Amen.
Well, that's easy enough for those that wish to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, keep us on the air. Like I said, once again, we are like a little rest stop here, the Six Eyes Radio Network, giving out the Word of God. You could got two choices. First, PayPal. You entered the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For those Cash App users, you enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter in the amount of your love gift, and not only will God bless you, but we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we do indeed thank you for the radio station supporting it. Many times we teach, we don't give to be seen, but we ought to be seen giving. And that's a teaching that brought us up in the church. And I don't give just to be seen, but I need to be seen giving. Here's the second part of that analogy. I don't kiss my wife in front of the kids just to be kissing her in front of the kids. But the kids need to see me kissing her in front of them. Why? Because they need to know what I love, what I appreciate. They need to see that appreciation in action. When we give and others see our giving, they see our appreciation to what or whom we are given to. And it is that appreciation that is learned. And that appreciation, that same appreciation, it grows, it develops. And as it grows and develops, those that have learned that tool, they end up blessing themselves. Because the Bible says, he give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. Amen. Seed to the soul. Seed to the who? Soul. Seed is what you're using to produce and harvest. So he gives that to those that are sowing. So when you are sowing your wherewithal, at different times God would challenge you to give a certain amount. As I've been going back, each year I try to start all back over and go through the Bible again. And just to make sure that the lessons and the teachings are solid within me. It's awesome how God shows me some things. And as much as I knew about the importance of giving an offering, I didn't realize that in the Torah alone, how many times God specified giving. He pushed giving. Giving, giving, giving. Giving for this cause, that cause, that. Giving. He pushed that. It was because anytime you see God say something once, that's to get our attention. Two is to establish it. Three is to affirm that it will not change. And so we see that in Scripture, how God affirmed and established the blessings to the giver. And so when you give, regardless to what they do, if God has touched your heart to sow a seed of X amount of dollars, then you do it. Because he don't want you giving grudgingly, because then you hinder your own blessing. He don't want you giving out of necessity, because you may be giving away more than your share part. But he wants you to give from an open and honest heart. And a fact, you can't be God-given. The more you give to him, the more he returns to you. If your giving is a seed, then a seed produces more seed called fruit. And in every fruit, there is more seed. God, you can't be God-given. That's a fact. No matter how we try, God got more ways to bless us than we can imagine. More ways to bless us than we can imagine. I love to testify, so I'm going to say the testimony to tomorrow night on Motivational Monday. But I just want to share that he'll do it. Every time when there's a need and you've been obeying God and trusting God, whenever that need comes, you'll find it. You'll find it at the right time. It'll open up. It'll show up at the right moment. He'll do it. He will do it. He's done it for me multiple times. Multiple times. And all I can do is say, God, I thank you. Amen. Sister Ruth, if you have come, we know that you gave a scripture in the beginning, but if you can, we'll jump right to our pepper, what we call the pepper trap, or our bloodhound of scripture. Amen. And let's jump right to that real quick. We don't want to lose our time.
Okay, this one is the one we need for this week. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent.
Amen.
And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent.
Amen. And he drank of the wine, and he was uncovered, and he was uncovered within his tent. Now, I know that the story is about Noah, but I'm going to give somebody else an opportunity, because if they know where Noah is in the Bible, then that will put them in the right book. And then if they know that it was after the flood, they'll find the right chapter. So I've given my clue. Anybody want to try before I get an answer? I think the verse that you read is from chapter 9 of Genesis, and we should be around 21.
Yes, it is. Praise the Lord. All right. We're having fun.
Okay, and then for the one for next week that he's got to sniff out.
Sniffing it. Yep. Okay. Now, that's going to be a fun one. Everybody, I think, knows this one. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
Ooh, one more time.
Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So, of course, we're doing that on the Friday show because we're talking about drinking. So, those are the
Read one more time.
No.
Read one more time, Sister Ruth.
Wine is a mocker.
Okay.
Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
Sound like a proverb. But we'll find out. We'll find out.
You're really good. Question on your
marker.
Bible, buddy.
Yep. Wine is a marker. All right. Wow. That means you can be deceived if you think that wine going to answer your problems. Got a lot of people that drink, and you ask them, and they make the comment, the only reason why they drink is because that's the only peace they get. Don't nobody understand. And we see a lot of people that use that excuse of drinking. But if I may serve notice, you only continue to get drunk is because you have become subject to it and you enjoy it to some degree. Because if you didn't like wine, then you wouldn't be getting drunk, regardless of what your circumstances were. So, no, you're not drinking because you have heart problems. You don't know what to do. That's not the reason why you're drinking. It may be a result of your problem, but that's not the reason. The reason is you have indulged in it because there's a part of you that have enjoyed it. And yes, I understand that some people have that gene that make them addictive to many things. You may have that addictive nature, but you can only be addicted to stuff that you have enjoyed. You can't be addicted to sex if you ain't never had sex. You can't be addicted to drugs if you never had drugs. So when we caution you about these things as a church, it is to keep you from the dangers of those things. Why? Because it's once you begin to enjoy something, it is after that you can abuse it. Only after that can it possibly be abused. And so that's my comment on that.
All right. Hey, Pastor Bonnet.
Yes, sir.
What do you call a monkey with a banana in each ear?
What do I call a monkey with a banana in each ear? A sight to see. I don't know.
No, it don't matter. He can't hear you.
Okay. That's pretty good. I like that. That's what we call cheesy joke, but that one was good. Because he can't. I guess nobody can hear what banana stuck in both ears, I don't guess. Amen. You got another one?
For next week, maybe.
Oh, that was pretty good, though. I enjoyed that. Amen.
I got one for you
always.
Guys.
Uh-oh, come on, Ruth. Come on.
Okay, what's a hot time?
What's a hot pie or hot?
Time, yeah.
A hot time, T-I-M-E?
Yeah.
What's a hot time? July, August, and September, I don't know.
a clock in an oven.
Okay. I'll think about
these
summer
are
months.
Old jokes I knew when I was a kid.
Yeah, that would be pretty hot.
That shows how good a memory I got at 62, huh? I can still remember the old silly jokes.
I have a good memory. Did you ever play hot potato when you were growing up?
Yeah.
It's amazing. We play hot potato with a cold ball.
Yeah. He also had that Mr. Potato Head, too. It was crazy. We did a lot of weird things those days. Played kickball, you know, just did anything.
Did I open everybody's mics? Because I don't hear. Oh, okay. Okay, that caller. We lost that caller. All right. Just want to make sure I did help everybody's mics open. Amen. Well, Brother Six, what are you eating this afternoon? Can't hear you, Six.
Say it again.
What are you eating this afternoon?
You know what? I'm not sure yet.
What's with Lato Dim?
You know what? I don't have a clue yet. Good question. Don't know yet. What about you?
Man, what I was thinking about, we got this store here called Kroger's. They do the rotisserie chicken. And
okay.
So, man, rotisserie chicken sounds pretty good. I can go get one or two of those for the family and come back and fix up some vegetables and some cornbread. And that might be good. Or I may just go to Fazoli's and get some baked pasta.
Now, what is Fazoli's?
Fazoli's is a place similar to, like, Olive Garden.
Okay.
Similar to Olive Garden. They deal with Italian cuisine. Similar. And they food are pretty. It's pretty good for Zoli's.
Okay.
You can go and purchase. They drive through have been good for years, long before the pandemic. You can go through and order their baked dishes, man. And coming through the drive through, man, you can within about 4 or 5 minutes, man. You after you place your order, you're able to get your food, man. Not fast food, but good food. Coming through the drive-thru. They pretty good. I like getting from them. I love their breadsticks. Their breadsticks got to be the most garlicky, buttery tasting breadsticks I've ever tasted. We got a place here that's called Spaghetti Warehouse. They probably got the best chili I ever had.
Oh, man, let me tell you about
Spaghetti Warehouse. But from Fazoli's, I get they loaded spaghetti. They loaded spaghetti had meatballs, meat sauce, Italian sausage,
mm-hmm.
and I think one other meat, pepperoni. But it is, and when I tell you it's loaded down, so you and then they bake it too with the cheese on top, man, that's so good.
Yeah, so it's funny you said the Spaghetti Warehouse because we had a Spaghetti Warehouse here. We have what's called flats. And good friend of mine, we went to school together. And we kept in touch, you know, after we graduated and everything. She went to the service and came back. She was based in Biloxi. And she came back, and we went to dinner, which happened to be the Spaghetti Warehouse. So I oh, my God. So
I stuck up on old memories. Okay.
Oh my God! So we went to the Spaghetti Warehouse, and sitting there, and I don't know what possessed me to put on white linen, but I put on white linen.
No, you didn't.
Yes, sir.
No, you didn't. You didn't go to the spaghetti house wearing white.
Yes. How guilty was I? And you know, Mama, they said, oh, well, make sure you put that napkin in your lap. I didn't listen to her. Man, so I know it was spaghetti, and it was a chicken breast.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting ready to cut the chicken breast, and let's say the chicken breast went on a trip right into my lap. I got spaghetti sauce. I got chicken all in my lap. Man. Ah. And I had to throw those pants away. I could not get that spaghetti sauce out of there. We tried everything, soaking it. We tried baking soda. We tried club soda. We tried everything to get that spaghetti sauce out, and it would not. It's funny you mentioned the spaghetti warehouse, because that's the last time we went, and I guess they moved the spaghetti warehouse to Tennessee because of my mishap of that chicken breast.
We had one here. It's downtown, in the downtown area, and we heard about it shortly after we had moved to Memphis, and ours had, you know how they have these certain little sub trains that they have food trains or food carts or train carts? Well, this one, they had the train inside the restaurant. So, like, if you wanted that train experience, you know, you didn't go nowhere, but the train, you know, you got to eat inside the cart. So you had the feel of it without the bump.
Okay.
And they had this chili, and they call it a beer chili, but onion and cheese on it for you.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you, probably the best chili I had ever had, pretty much. Probably the best chili I ever had, because the only reason why I think about them is to go to get their chili.
Wow.
Haven't been in a long, long time, but, man, they had the, if you want just plain chili, some good chili, they had the best chili. They had some of the best chili I've ever tasted. So that's what I like about it. Me, when I go to restaurants, I find out what they do well, and when I go back, that's the only thing I want. My wife say, "You gonna get something different?" I said, "Nope." They said, "Why not?" I said, "Listen, this is my taste buds. I want what I know they do right, because I want to enjoy my experience." Yeah. So, if I go to a steak restaurant and order a steak and you can't cook it right, I don't go back. Because if you're a steak restaurant, you can mess up everything else. But if you mess up the steak, I's not coming back.
That's what you're known for. So that should be the one thing you can make. And, you know, speaking of steak, I was eating steak at like 12 at night. Yeah, about 12 at night.
Ooh, that's heavy.
Yeah, so really, I'm still full from the steak, and it was a porterhouse. So I'm still full with the steak. I said,
"Yeah, big dog, you can't help but be full."
Yeah. So I said, "Okay." I got up. I made the coffee. I had the two Pop-Tarts. I'm still full from that steak. So if I make anything, it's gonna be light. Because I said I was gonna make some fries with the steak, and I never got up to make the fries. But shoot, I had enough trouble eating the steak.
So,
fries would have just went to waste, because I thought we was gonna do the show yesterday, but it's ATL's birthday. So happy birthday to DJ ATL, Atlanta Styles from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
All right. Happy birthday.
I talked to him, seeing if he's going to do the show. Oh, six, I don't have anything set up for the show. I said, hey, man, just enjoy your birthday, and we'll try next Saturday.
So, speaking of birthday, next Sunday is my birthday.
Yes.
And I'm not sure what all my family has planned, so.
Well, you know what we can do? What we can do, if, and of course, happy birthday from the Six Eyes Radio Network. But before your birthday, Tuesday, is Papa Six Eyes' birthday.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
So, yeah, so Papa Six Eyes' birthday is the 21st, and then 2 days after that is Ray Charles' birthday. Yeah, September 23rd, so it goes 21, 23, and 26.
All right, yeah. I know quite a few birthdays in this month. My nephews, my neighbor, and I was getting ready to head out yesterday for a tournament, which got rained out, but she gave me a caramel cake, that she made, so homemade caramel cake.
You have
big old cake too, right? Lord have mercy. I said, but I'm going to eat it.
Did you have
eat it? Yes, I done had coffee with the cake. I went and bought me some soy milk, some vanilla soy milk.
Uh-huh.
I like regular milk, but I really like that vanilla soy milk. It was good. It reminded me, I don't know if many people did this, when we were young, if we had to make milk from the carnation milk,
oh, yeah,
out of the can, the consecrated milk, we add sugar to it.
Now, you know what? They got some milk like that by Carnation that is it's kind of like sweet.
I thought that was by the other brand. The sweet one was by the other brand, Sour to Be. Brandon.
No, this is Carnation. This is Carnation. What do they call it?
Condensed sweet. But the condensed milk with Carnation, and we add sugar to it, and we add the water to it. And, man, I tell you, that was like drinking the water after you done, drinking your milk after you done add it to cereal.
Yeah.
And then you get the sugar off the cereal. That's your Frosted Flakes or something like that. Man.
Yeah, that's weird. They got some milk like that already. I think it's called Carnation Evaporated Milk, but it has like a sweetness to it because I put it in my coffee before.
I know we got the Nestle Quick Milk, what you add to the milk. I used to get the strawberry can and add that to the milk. That was something good.
Yeah, never was big on the strawberry, but Mama loves strawberry shakes. But I always like the chocolate.
Yeah, man, strawberry milkshake and pineapple milkshake. My favorite too.
I never heard of no pineapple milkshake.
Ooh, man. Back home where I placed that did it. Got a restaurant called Cookout. They do milkshakes, they milkshakes hand battered creams, and so man, come out something good, creamy, whatever flavor you want, they would do it good or mix it. Went to Baskin Robbins during the summer a couple months ago, about a month or so ago. Finished up a job and they had this watermelon flavor, but it wasn't just watermelon, it had something else in it. And when you bite into the little flavor thing. It just gives you this burst of just flavor.
Yeah.
And, man, when I tell you, it was called Watermelon Blast or something. Man, and Baskin-Robbins had it during the summer. They do certain flavors seasonal or whatever. Man, talking about something was so good. I was waiting to go do that customer because it's in Mississippi where I had to go. I was waiting to go do. I was happy to get back to that customer so I could stop to that gas station so I could get that milkshake again. that milkshake was so good. Yeah.
Hey,
go
Pastor Bonnet. Pastor Bonnet. First off,
yes,
Emily called me. She said her phone call had dropped, and she just wanted you to know that she couldn't get back in because of the bonus hour, but she wanted you to know her message. She loved your message. It was real good. And also, I'm going to let you guys know that next week, okay, for the kind of the joke of the week, I'm going to be talking about two humble jobs, one for you and one for Six.
Humble jobs or humble jocks?
Jobs, J-O-B-S, jobs.
Okay, got it. Two humble jobs.
Yep, two humble jobs, one for you, one for Six, that you both could do and be humble.
What, bring you your slippers?
No. We're going to, you have to wait till next week.
I hope it don't. Well, I tell you this, I hope it ain't got nothing to do with being a beekeeper, because you're saying humble, and the humble bee, so if it's anything like that.
Yeah, that's that all. State Farm commercial with a guy in a bee suit.
Well, you'll find out next week.
Okay. All right. Well, once again, man, I just want to thank you all for breaking bread with us as we broke the Word of God today together. And it was a privilege and an honor to come before you to share. Amen. Oftentimes, I tell you, I really be kind of split between one message or another message to share. And it's just so amazing to me how there's so many different times that God would just tailor-made, even if I tend for the message to be one way, how God would tailor-made this message to fit our audience. And so I'm so grateful. So to any of our listening audience that has signed in to the Blog Talk program, and you see down there in the comments, go on and comment. Let us know how the program is blessing you, how you're receiving it. Communicate with us. Amen. And if you have communicated with us in the past and we haven't reached back to you or said anything, charge it to our head, not our heart. Maybe we missed it. But we want you to reach out to us. Let us know whether it's this program or any of the programs throughout the week. Let us know how these programs are encouraging you in your life, wherever you may be. And that's, not that we're looking for someone to say, "Bella boy, good job," but it's always good to know that you're reaching people and that what you are sharing with them has meaning. Amen. The gospel is very valuable. Amen. Some people have given their life to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ physically. And so we don't take it lightly. The opportunities that we have to come before you to share Jesus Christ. It is by no way, shape, or form cheap. It is definitely costly. It cost him his life. And we want to relay that to you, that salvation is a precious gift. It's not one that you would trade for anything else in the world. Because to attain true salvation, is to truly be free. And that's worth everything. It's literally, physically, actually, it's worth everything. And
yes,
to have salvation And so we want to relay that to you in so many different ways, that choosing Christ is the best thing that you can ever do in this world. The best thing. You may have married the person of your dreams, but Christ still takes it a whole nother level. You may have been born with a silver spoon, a gold spoon, a platinum in your mouth, but Christ can take you a whole nother level. And so, let's be encouraged that Christ is the single best thing that anybody in this world can ever, ever have. So, that is valuable. Because there's none like it. No, not one. And all of the religious leaders that have ever been born, that ever will be born, Christ is the only one that died for you and got up for you. Died for me and got up for me. From the dead, from the death. Physical death. Not unconscious. Not wounded. But death. He's the only one that has ever done what needed to be done that we can have that security. Period. So he's priceless. Don't take it for granted.
That's so true. Thank you, Pastor. And what did you think about the new look for the station?
Man, I'm trying to see it. I was looking for the blue mark, and when I saw this come up, I couldn't. I guess if I put my glasses on, I was still trying to look. I said, "Huh, what kind of okay." I see the S, the R. I said okay. So I couldn't blow it up so I could see it a little bit better. At the point, but I was like, all right.
Yeah, that's our new look. Rode did that for me for us being on the air for 10 years. So that was her gift to the. So I want to thank Rode for that. And,
yeah, she did a good job, this black and gold look. I like it.
Okay, thank you, Rode. Appreciate that. And also, remember, you can access us by the website. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes. We're also on Podbean. We're on Apple. So all you have to do is type in Six Eyes Radio. When you go to the podcast, type in Six Eyes Radio. We'll pull up. And the beautiful thing about that, even you Android users can listen to us, the Six Eyes Radio Network. So that's beautiful. Type in Six Eyes Radio. Yes.
Mm.
And you can check out the latest episode.
Kicking it with Six Eyes. All right. I like that. Well, once again, ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all sorts, Jesus Christ loves you. And no greater love than this, that a man will lay down his life for a friend. Before we said yes to him, he had already made the sound, solid, unchangeable decision to die in our place. He did it because of his great love towards us. Don't he deserve a thank you? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Until tomorrow night, when you come back to join us on the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, God bless you, God keep you, and amen. Good night, all. Good night, one. And all.
All right. Thanks for listening. Go Browns. Hello to my family, friends, and fans. We appreciate you. God bless.
God bless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.